From the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, the third day, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Tradition has it that Jesus' death occurred on Good Friday at about 3 in the afternoon, after 3 hours of intense suffering. This past Good Friday, about 3 o'clock as it turns out, I decided I need to get one thing at Market Street. Not a good idea. Parking lot was jammed. I had to park by the gas station. Each checkout line was 6-8 people deep. And after what was a reasonable amount of time, actually, I managed to get to the front of the express line, and I said to the guy, "I guess that season of sacrifice and fasting is just about over." On Good Friday, 3 o'clock. Which is not unusual. I mean, it's the same thing we do at Christmas. The Christmas season starts, you know, Labor Day, probably. But it occurred to me then, and I've been thinking about it ever since, that we sort of are rushing Easter a little bit. I mean, even the wonderful M&Ms they get at Easter time, the ones that look like eggs, then they're full of chocolate. I mean, I've not been able to buy those for 3 weeks. But there is something to be pondered about the 3 days' time between Good Friday and Easter. There's at least 3 days' time between, you know, the adventure of last Friday afternoon and this morning that carries with it, I think, some insight. Theologically, that 3 days' time when Jesus was taken from the cross and laid into the tomb, that was only the beginning of him being in a very dark place. We recite in the Creed that he descended into hell, and after 3 days. And during those 3 days, again, the doctrine of the atonement says that he, in that extraordinarily dark place, absorbed not only the full range of human experience, but the punishment, the full range of punishment for all human frailty. And then after 3 days' time comes forth, and we have the light of the resurrection. Well, it occurs to me to think about 3 days' time as in the time between finding ourselves in dark places, physically, socially, emotionally, maybe literally, and then coming to find the light of hope and love. What can happen in 3 days' time, metaphorically? I think, first of all, when we find ourselves in a dark place of our own making or from that of circumstance, in 3 days' time, maybe the situation resolves itself. We are individually, amazingly engineered for self-healing. Our world is amazingly created and engineered for self-healing. Some of you know my sister is a family nurse practitioner, and she's worked for 30-some years in an emergency room. And she's told me many times that virtually all of the patients she sees fall into one of two categories. The small category are those who, when they come in, no matter what they do, no matter what doctors and others do, the situation will not resolve. Or the far larger category of people is when they come in, no matter what is done in the ER, maybe if even nothing is done, healing will occur. The body will heal itself. Now, what medicine can do is shorten the time between sickness and healing and maybe make that time a little more comfortable. But the body is amazingly self-healing. It will resolve itself most of the time. So also the earth. Wildfires and forest fires destroy vast acres of land. But in the subsequent 3 days' time, so to speak, There are other plants and other realities that go into the rejuvenation of the land that cannot otherwise be recovered but from the fire. Even the damage we do to the earth ourselves, the oil spill in the Gulf, for example, of 2010, the ocean is healed itself to a far greater degree than any human entity could do even at the time in terms of removing the threat. So sometimes when we find ourselves in dark places, in 3 days' time, the situation resolves, to our liking or not, but the situation resolves itself. Secondly, sometimes the transition from being in a dark place to the experience of light and life comes from us figuring it out. We get flashes of insight that illuminate, as it were. About a month ago, I got from a journal editor the best news you can most often expect to get when you submit a piece of research for publication. It comes back and the journal editor says, well, it's not ready yet, but we think it could be if you did this, that, and the other thing. In other words, revise and resubmit. That's good news. So in the last month, I've been revising and resubmitting, and now this week I'll send it back and hopefully it'll move forward. But it took a while because the reviewers said, what you've got is really interesting, but we want you to run more analysis. And part of what was interesting is that we pointed out a paradox, the details of which are irrelevant. But the new analysis points us to the paradox. And the word paradox appears in the article about 12 times. Well, in the last month, I've been working on, more or less waiting for insight to occur, on the nature of the paradox and its meaning and how further research might resolve it. Those are things that just occurred to me. And I can't tell you how or why, they just do. A flash of insight. Oh! I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, on to matters much more consequential by researchers. Maybe you read this last week or saw it on 60 Minutes. The brain cancer researchers at Duke University came up with an idea that if they took a brain tumor and injected it with, of all things, the polio virus, where did they come up with that? I mean, were they jogging or were they having coffee? Or I know, let's try that. The work of the Holy Spirit. Similarly, other types of cancers, they're testing modalities of bringing in the measles virus and other things. I know how we can fix that melanoma. Let's give them measles. Where does that come from? A flash of insight. Sometimes we figure it out. And I truly believe that these insights that just occur to us are truly the work of the one who came forth from a dark place into the light of God's resurrection and left us with the Holy Spirit that works, and it works on us. So sometimes moving from dark places into resurrection light involves simply waiting it out or acting on what occurs to us. But maybe most profoundly of all, the movement from a very dark place, maybe even the darkest of all places we go into at least the hint of resurrection light, happens in the company of others. Because there are some things that can happen to us that we can bring about ourselves, things that we can't prevent or things that we choose not to prevent that are irretrievable. There are irreconcilable differences in life. There are irretrievable losses. There are mistakes that we make that change how others see us and how we see ourselves forever. And yet we move forward. We move forward in the company of those who have been where we are, who know what worked for them, and can share their insight and their experience, and then take our hand and guide us through safe passage. It's truly an amazing thing. It's why we live in communities. You know, what I talked about before in terms of Jesus spending those 3 days' time absorbing the full brunt of human experience and the punishment for human frailty. We recite that every week when we recite the Apostles' Creed. And in reciting the Apostles' Creed, we reenact the promises of our own baptism. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name we are baptized. And it is baptism that unites us in community. That's what brings us full circle. We move forward in the company of the literal body of Christ, who takes our hand. Martin Luther is reported as having said that ministry involves being little Christs one unto another. And that initially seems like a tall order, like you got to be more like Jesus. Well, Jesus was an uncommonly good sport and a very brave Savior. But I think if you turn that around and be little Christs one unto another, it involves letting Christ be who he is and who he was inside of you. That is, I've been there, I can help you see him through. I've been there, I can give you strength to walk with her. So the next time you're in a really dark place of your own making or of circumstance beyond your control, see if there isn't somebody, some member, some fellow member of the body of Christ who doesn't find you and says in a literal or metaphorical way, I've been where you're going. I know what works and what doesn't. It's going to take about 3 days. But try this. And see if in the trying of this, in the company of others, you don't hear, maybe literally or at least spiritually, someone representing the body of Christ call you by name. And when you hear your name again, you will both see a flash of light and you will know that the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Happy Easter.